Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer 89.5 KVRF presents Dog Talk Radio, hosted by Robert and Michelle Forteau. On Dog Talk Radio, we do just that. Talk dogs. Everything from introducing a new puppy into your home to the health and welfare of your canine senior citizen and all points in between. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forteau.
Hello, everyone. This is Robert Forteau, and you're listening to Dog Talk Radio here on KVRF 89.5 FM in the Matsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming. We air every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. during the summer months and in the wintertime. At the same spot is Mushing Radio, where we talk about everything dog-powered sports. Sitting beside me is the co-host of Dog Talk Radio. Her name is Michelle Forteau. She is the lead trainer for Alaska Dog Works, specializing in service and therapy dogs. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going well. Do you feel the change in the air?
There is a little change in the air. We're getting excited about mushing, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But before we do, what is up in the world of dogs?
You know, I think people are winding down their summer activities and getting out there and trying to punch out a few more hikes and treks in the wilderness. And, you know, I'm hearing less and less about wildlife encounters, and we're gearing up for fall here in Alaska.
We are. The weather is changing. It is getting a little cooler, a little bit more rain, and I think a little bit less dog training.
Well, people are thinking less about dog training, and that's a good point that you're bringing up. We should be thinking about dog training on a daily basis with our dogs, not just when the weather is nice. When the weather is bad is really when your dog needs that extra attention. They're cooped up in the cabin just as much as you are, and getting out there and doing things with your dog every day of the year is optimal.
It is, and you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had on a guest. Her name was Gresha Stewart. She is a BAT trainer, Behavior Adjustment Therapy, and she's having a seminar starting on the 27th of August, and we promised that we would put the word out there a little bit about them needing several dogs to help out with their therapy course on aggression, and they need those dogs between the 27th and 31st. And they need several types of dogs, and if you have a dog that meets one of these criteria, I hope that you'll be able to help. They need, number one, they need some demo dogs. A demo dog is a dog with an issue toward other dogs or fear of something like skateboards that we could isolate for BAT setup. They could then work with a dog during the course. They also need six of these demo dogs. I know there's plenty of dogs out there in the Anchorage area that have these problems. Is that right, Michelle?
It sure is. And how can they get in touch with Gresha?
We are going to talk about that here in just a second. Number two, they need neutral dogs. Neutral dogs are dogs that are just that. They're neutral in their environment. So they're going to be used as dogs that are there for other dogs to be around, right?
Well, yeah, a neutral dog is a dog that doesn't have any adverse fears, overexcitement. It's the dog in the room that is the most calm.
Right. So they need six demo dogs, or neutral dogs, and then they need six practice dogs. These dogs are dogs that the instructors, the helpers, will help practice with. So they need three types of dogs for this seminar: six demo dogs, six neutral dogs, and several practice dogs. If you have questions or more information, you can contact Kristen at functionalrewards.com. And that is going to be on the 27th through the 31st in downtown Anchorage. It's a big seminar for dog training. It's one of its kind. And I think that several dog trainers are going to attend that and receive some very much-needed training up here. It's not always one way or the highway, is it?
No, absolutely not. And it shouldn't be one way or the highway. And, you know, that being said, I know a lot of a lot of people will attempt to do a lot of different things with their dog before they say it's the highway. And that being said, people need to realize that it takes 21 days to typically make or break a habit. And I know in Gresha's seminar, she's going to teach you things that are a little bit quicker, a lot faster than that. But in my career, I have found that if you introduce something to a dog, it typically takes them about 21 days to grasp it, own it, and start the new habit. Would you agree?
I totally agree. It's very similar to a habit that we involve ourselves in as humans, whether it be a good habit or a bad habit. In order to instill that habit, it does take that 3-week time period. So what we're saying, I guess, is don't expect your dog to be miraculously changed in just a week or two of training. It does take time. It does take routine. It does take a lot of practice on both of your part.
Right. And every time you introduce a new training style, it takes your dog, again, 21 days to learn the new training style. And that's what I'm trying to explain is if you've taught your puppy clicker training and by the time he's 6 months old, you're doing hand signals only, it takes a good 21 days for the dog to transition from the clicker training to the hand signals.
That's right. So if you're looking for more information on this seminar, if you are a dog trainer here in the Anchorage area and you want to learn some new skills, functionalrewards.com is the website. Gresha Stewart is the lead instructor. She is the founder of this type of dog training, behavior adjustment therapy, otherwise known as BAT training. It's a very popular method down in the lower 48. I think it's pretty new in introduction to folks and their dogs up here in Alaska.
I believe it's pretty new all across the board.
It is, and I remember learning about this several years ago when we were working with a Great Dane rescue down in the Denver area, and they had gone to several seminars. The Great Dane folks went to several seminars in BAT training, and at that time, including us, there was nobody offering that type of training in Denver, so that was what they were seeking out, but obviously that wasn't offered in Denver, so they went with us in our training and were with us for quite a while as a training reference for the
Great Dane. Rocky Mountain Great Dane.
Right. So definitely a different style of training. It's not something that is what people are used to seeing. So if you're interested in more information, functionalrewards.com is the website. So without further ado, what else is going on, Michelle?
Well, from what I understand, a lot of the mushers are starting to train, and people need to be aware of that out on the trails and the side roads and things, that it's not just people walking their dogs or people out running with their dogs. Mushers are now out on the trails with their ATVs, and when mushers are on the trail, hopefully everybody else is aware of that, and sharing the trail and proper trail etiquette should be followed by everyone involved. Off-leash dogs during mushing training season is always frowned upon, simply because an off-leash dog will run up to a team and can cause itself to become harmed.
That is true, and you know, I have trained sled dogs in several areas of the country, and what I find amazing up here is a lot of people do give right away to the mushers, especially people in cars. You'll often see people pull over for the mushing teams as they drive by on their ATVs, their sleds, their snow machines, whatever. It's almost a very high amount of respect that is given to the mushers out there, because unless you've been on the back of a sled, it's difficult to control 12, 14, 16 dogs on a dime if something jumps out in front of you.
Well, yes, and that's absolutely true. And it's not just true for a dog sled. It's true when you're on the snow machine and you've got 14 dogs in front of you. It's also true when you're on an ATV and you have 14 dogs in front of you. It is difficult to stop that many dogs. Most of us can, but again, the dogs don't want to stop for 10 minutes.
That's right. And you know, that is also true, or good advice, for people with dogs on bicycles. Definitely give those guys a little bit of a right away as well, because it's tough. You know, we have an item that we use in our training called the walkie dog, and while it's a pretty safe and secure method for containing your dog on its exercise, it can still be quite dangerous if another dog jumps out, from the yard into the street or whatever, and comes up to your dog to sniff or play or bite or whatever they're doing. So give some right away to folks with dogs on bicycles as well.
Absolutely. And you know, that being said, I think that we will probably hit on a couple of trail etiquette information shows here in the upcoming season, because, you know, it rings true. If you are out there with your dog and your dog listens well to you off leash, kudos to you. But there are times when people get out there with their dogs and they have them off leash and they're not able to control their dogs. And this is when mishaps happen.
They do. And, you know, I'm working with a client right now down in Anchorage that has that issue as well. They are world-class ski jurors, and they take their dogs out to train with them, and often other dogs come up to them off-leash when they're on the in the ski juring harnesses and on the line, and those dogs are interfering with the dogs that are doing the ski juring. I'm not saying by any means to not take your dogs out, but, you know, as we mentioned just a couple of weeks ago when we had Gresha on, that this is definitely a no-leash state when it comes to dogs out in the outdoors.
It is a no-leash state, but there are leash laws here in Alaska, and a lot of people aren't aware of that.
So definitely pay attention to the local laws and ordinances for your dogs, and if you have any questions, check out your local borough's or municipalities' websites. I'm sure they can give you excellent information about that and dog parks in the area, because there are several dog parks in the Anchorage area. I don't believe there are any here in the Mapsu Valley. I know that there's one over at the Animal Food Warehouse, but that's a very small, contained dog park.
I believe that is true. So how about a little teaser about this upcoming mushing season? Are you excited about the field of rookies coming up for Iditarod 2014? Have you heard any news about the upcoming qualifying races, which ones are going, which ones aren't? What's in the news for the mushing?
Well, there is lots of news. We are already recording some of the mushing radio broadcasts. We're currently airing those on Saturday afternoons on mushingradio.com. Just this evening, we're going to be talking to two guests, Abby West, who is a Yukon Quest musher, and Lizbeth Norris in another episode. She is also a Iditarod upcoming rookie. She's going to be running for the first time. We spoke to Monica Zappa just a couple of weeks ago. She's going to be running the Iditarod for the first time. And just last week, we spoke to a recreational musher that is interested in expedition-type things like the Sierra Run. Her name is Karen Klein. She lives in Valdez, Alaska, the snow capital of North America, over 400 inches a year of snow. Can you just imagine how much snow that is? I know we just had 4 or 5 feet at our place the last couple of years, but can you imagine 10, 12, 14 feet of snow in the yard?
No.
That is a lot of snow.
I don't want to imagine that.
Karen said that they dig out little mazes, and they're well above their head by the time that the spring comes, and they just walk around in those little mazes trying to get from one place to another. The drifts are so deep. I can only imagine 12 or 14 feet of snow, especially if you're trying to run a mushing team.
Yeah, it's got to be difficult, but you know, people choose to live where they do because they enjoy that lifestyle.
They do. Upcoming races that are already confirmed, we have the Yukon Quest 300, which was what we're participating in. The Willow Junior 100 has been confirmed. That is going to be on February 7th and 8th. It is a weekend. Our daughter Nicole will be running in that race. Of course, the Iditarod is confirmed. The Yukon Quest is confirmed.
Well, let's discuss the Willow Junior a little bit. I know that that's kind of it's a race in our backyard. Our daughter did it last year. They typically have about 10 young mushers that show up between the ages of 12 and 17, and it's a tradition, and we like to see more local mushers showing up for that.
We do. Last year was a great showing of all the mushers. We had mushers from all over, as a matter of fact, last year at the Willow Junior, mushers from New York, mushers from Pennsylvania. We had mushers from Minnesota in the race, and, of course, quite a few local mushers, including from one of the great families in mushing, Conway Seavey, and his dad, who won the Iditarod last year. So another great race for the Willow Junior. But guess what else is happening? We are in the works of doing. We are going to be putting on our own race. It's called the Independence Mine 200. And boy, I tell you what, it is gaining a lot of steam very quickly. I just spoke to Alex Stein. He's been on this show many a times, and he's given some severe thought about filming a documentary about the Independence Mind 200.
Severe or sincere?
Severe.
Severe. Hmm.
Yes.
Well, that's quite interesting. And yes, anybody out there interested in learning more about the Independence Mind 200, it is Robert and my little baby, and we're trying to feed and nurture it well, and we're looking for as many volunteers as we can have come our way and give us advice. And anybody interested in sponsoring this race that has to do with the history of the Mat-Su Valley, Hatcher's Pass, and, of course, Independence Mine, please give us a call.
You know, what's interesting, on an upcoming show of Alaska Style, it will air here on KVRF at 5:30 next Monday. We speak to Jerry Keeley. Jerry Keeling, she is the first baby to be born in the Colony Hospital right here in Palmer. She was born here in 1935, the first child to be born in the community. But she has an extensive knowledge of this area. She works at the Palmer Historical Society. She also works at the Colony House, which is right down the road from the studio. But she and I got to talking this afternoon when we recorded the show about the gold miners and how they used to travel from the old Kinnick homestead over, as you guys know, in Kinnick, where the Reddingtons are from, and how they worked their way from Kinnick through Wasilla up through Willow, through the old Willow Creek Trail that's now known as the Herning Trail, and then they made their way up Hatcher's Pass into the Talkeetna Mountains to what is now known as Hatcher Pass Road, and many people that are listening here in the valley know exactly what we're talking about, and then they made their way down that road, which is about a 20-mile hike to what is now Independence Mine. So there is a lot of history in this Palmer Mat-Su Valley area, and we're going to try to capture a little bit of that in the Independence Mine 200.
Absolutely. Trying to bring something back to life that has slowly dwindled away here in the valley, and what better way to see those beautiful mountains and Hatcher's Pass but on the back of a dog sled.
That's the way it was intended. Many a dog sled took the miners and their equipment up over that way. And, you know, it's going to be a race that is nothing to sneeze at. It's got some pretty intense inclines, well over 1,800 feet from Willow to Hatcher Pass Road. And then it scales to an elevation of about 3,600 feet at Summit Lake, very close to Independence Pass. Those are heights that rival the Yukon Quest on the American side, with Eagle Summit and I believe it's called Rosebud Summit, if I'm not mistaken, two peaks that I will be going over in February. So too bad this cannot be used as a training run, but this is not going to be your Kinnick 200 of the mushing races. This is going to be a very intense uphill and downhill battle that a lot of local mushers aren't quite used to.
You know, and they're not. And I'm hoping a few more of the local mushers catch wind of the race and come on board and offer their opinions and things, so that we can truly make this not just, we don't want to make this a mushers race. We want to make this a commemorative race for the historical factor of it, and we want to take this race back to when it was a simpler time. It wasn't just about the fastest dog team and the best equipment.
That is true. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be held the weekend after the Iditarod start. So we probably won't have the big names in this race, at least the first year, but that's intended. We are going to have a very small field, a field of between 12 and 20 mushers, and we're going to open it up as no other mid-distance race currently is. We're going to open up from 16 up, so juniors can run in this race as well. I think that's really going to change the dynamic of the whole field. If we have a couple of these up-and-coming rookies, I'm thinking of folks like Conway Seavey. That guy burns up the trails. I remember running the Tustamina race with him last year. He was running the Tustamina 200, and about 30, 40 miles into the race, he blew past me like I was sitting still. So I can only imagine what he is able to do on a race like this. He could even possibly win it.
Yes, I believe that he's almost 18 now, or he is 18.
He could be 18, but he's very young in terms of, of the mushing of the mushing world. So thinking about guys like him, and for folks that aren't used to racing against this up-and-coming crowd, you know, we've said it many a times on Mushing Radio with a lot of our Iditarod guests, it's about time for a changing of the guard. Even folks like Martin Boozer and Mitch Stevie and guys like that will say, yes, there is definitely a new breed of mushers coming down the trail. It's about time for some of these old-timers. They're going to have to step aside a little bit, and I know that's tough to do in the very competitive world of mushing, but boy, what a way to showcase the sport with this new crop of mushers that is coming down the pike. I think it's going to be a very interesting time for Iditarod and Yukon Quest and all of the qualifiers and mid-distance races that people take part in. It's going to be a very interesting time for the sport. What do you think?
I think that us designing this race is probably good timing.
I think it is, too. And it's going to give the mushers in the Matsu Valley another race that we're definitely needing. I know with the passing of the Don Bowers 200 and 300 this past year, that's not going to be run. Again, a very small, no-politics race as it was, that's no longer going to be ran. And then with the Connect 200, which is also another Matsu Valley race, and of course, the Northern Lights 300, which is the premier race in the Matsu Valley. For folks that are listening outside that may not know much about the Northern Lights, it used to be the old Klondike 300, which has been around for years. It is often race marshaled by Bud Smith. Bud Smith is one of the founders of Iditarod. He is Ramey and Sim Smith's dad. He is definitely an old school musher.
Absolutely, and he is quite a character, and I hope that we get to speak with him as we are still in the infancy of designing this race. But, you know, seriously, everybody out there listening, we know you know people. Send them our way. You guys know the website. Robert's going to give it to you here in a little bit. But send them our way. We need people to come together on this and really back this race, because it really does signify what this community was really built on, and that is Hatcher's Pass and Independence Mine.
It is exactly. And, you know, we don't just need sponsors or volunteers, but we need those historians like Jerry Keeling. You know, there are plenty of folks that around here that can share stories about mining and the history of the valley and all that went on here in building this this magnificent part of the country. And, of course, I'm very excited about that. I love to learn about history. It's one of my favorite subjects to study. I guess that's why I sit in front of the History Channel and National Geographic Channel all the time.
I have got no comments on that.
It's got to be better than QVC.
You know, anything's better than any of those shopping networks. I'll give you that.
So we're looking forward to it. If you do have stories to share, our website is not up yet, but it's independencemine200.com. We're going to have a Facebook page that is launching probably by this weekend. It's facebook.com/independencemine200.
Right, but in the meantime, they can get a hold of us
at live@dogworksradio.com. That's our primary address for our radio shows here, live@dogworksradio.com. That's probably the spot that will tip us off the most. We'll get that email a buzzing. And I tell you, talking about a buzz, there is quite a bit out there. People are just coming out of the woodwork that want to find out more about this race and what's going to happen with it. And you know what's going to be cool about the Independence Mine 200 is we're going to try our mightiest to have every single musher that is going to be in the race do an interview right here on Mushing Radio.
Well, most of them are pretty shy, so, you know, everybody needs to know out there, if you're ever interested in coming on Dog Talk Radio or any of our radio shows, we do allow you to call us from the comfort of your own home or your car or wherever you may be via your cell phone.
That is true. We do get a lot of calls in to interview us. And, of course, you can always come to the studio to record your episode. We don't do any of these shows live at the moment. That's just a nature of time schedules. Both Michelle and I work here in Palmer during the week, so we just record this show before heading back to Willow, because it is a little bit of a drive to come down here, especially in the wintertime.
Absolutely, and I don't think it really matters if we're live or not. People still listen to us for information.
So mark your calendars. March 9th, I believe, is the day, is going to be the kickoff of the Independence Mind 200, a premier historical mushing race, unlike any other in the Matsu Valley or in Alaska, as far as I know. I know there's lots of races that claim history, that claim stories behind them, but what a way to go back into history than to learn about the history of the Matsu Valley and in Alaska. Michelle, we have about 3 minutes left. Anything left here on our dual Dog Talk and Mushing Radio episode here on KVRF?
No, but I would like to invite people to listen to some archive shows from our past show, Dogworks Radio, where we discuss service dogs and therapy dogs. I think that here in Alaska, we have a little bit of a gap between the proper terminology of what a service dog is and what a therapy dog is. And you and I have discussed that in detail on lots of our shows, but and on Dog Talk as well. A therapy dog is a dog that you own, that you take to visit other people to give them comfort for a few minutes' time. A service dog is a dog that lives with you, that provides specific services for you.
You know, we get those calls every day. We just got two this afternoon for our training business, and by no means are we promoting our training business at all here on the show, but we got calls just this afternoon right before recording the show where they said they're looking for a therapy dog, and that's not necessarily the case. They were looking for service dogs, dogs that are able to provide specific trained services for an individual versus that therapy dog, as Michelle just mentioned, where they offer therapy typically for a larger group of people, whether it be in a nursing home or at a library or in a hospital setting or at a school setting or in a psychiatrist's office, et cetera.
Absolutely.
So with that, we are going to close. Remember, March 9th is the day, Independence Mind 200. We'll find out more information as we go along. And every Wednesday, 7 p.m. during the summer is Dog Talk Radio. We hope to have a guest join us this upcoming week. We have a couple of calls in the works. Hopefully we will have somebody to announce before airtime. If not, just sit back and listen. 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.